It's interesting how different countries have different ways that they celebrate different events, different holidays, all that kind of stuff. I read that in Finland, one of the Christmas traditions that they have as part of their celebrations that happens on an annual basis, on a yearly basis, is called the Declaration of Christmas Peace. And this started in the 1300s and has continued for pretty much every year for the last 700 plus years now. And each year at noon on Christmas Eve, the Christmas Peace is declared in Finland. The proclamation is read usually by an official from the balcony of a historic mansion in Turku. It's broadcast live on radio, it's broadcast on TV, and of course now it's streamed on the internet. The declaration serves to those that are Finland residents. It serves as a reminder and an encouragement to spend the holiday in harmony and to threaten offenders with harsh punishments and to wish everybody a Merry Christmas. All in one little declaration. I'm sorry. And here's what it actually reads. It says, tomorrow, God willing, this is on Christmas Eve at 12 noon. Tomorrow, God willing, is the graceful celebration of the birth of our Lord and Savior, and thus is declared a peaceful Christmas time by all, by advising devotion and to behave otherwise quietly and peacefully, because he who breaks the peace and violates the peace of Christmas by any illegal or improper behavior shall under agitating circumstances be guilty and punished according to what the law and statutes prescribe for each and every offense separately. Finally, it goes on, a joyous Christmas feast is wished to all inhabitants of the city. I think what we learn here is not to mess with the Finns' Christmas peace, right? They take it seriously there. But honestly, what a great way to usher in the Christmas season with a reminder of Christ's coming. The fact that tomorrow we are celebrating, and it's done publicly, and it's done through TV, through radio, through streaming, that tomorrow we're ushering in the coming of Jesus Christ, and we're reminded of the peace that He brings into the world. This morning, as we talk about rediscovering Christmas, we're talking about rediscovering peace, God's peace. Last week we talked about hope, and we kind of looked at the story of Simeon and Anna, and we talked about the hope that they had and how we could learn from that hope. This morning, as we're talking about peace, we're going to be looking at the shepherds and how the shepherds were able to restore peace. When we think of peace embodied in the Christmas spirit, in the Christmas story, I think that we can't really help but at least consider the shepherds. They were really unlikely recipients of God's message of peace to man. I want us to read. I want you to turn with me if you have your Bibles. We're going to go to a very familiar passage for the Christmas season. Luke chapter 2. And we're going to start at verse 8. Luke 2 verse 8. If you're able to follow along with me, I encourage you to turn there. Otherwise, I encourage you just to listen as I read this morning. And in Luke chapter 2, starting at verse 8, it says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, watching, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that you for all people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and laying in a manger. Suddenly, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angels, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to man and all whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off. They found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in a manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. And we're going to stop right there. There is really, when you think of what we just read in those few verses, there is so much that's packed in to those couple paragraphs. This is really, it's like God's birth announcement to the world. And what a way to announce a long-awaited event that happened in such an unexpected way. Suddenly, just in the middle of the night, in the middle of darkness, an ordinary night in Bethlehem on the countryside, an angel appears in the sky and is then joined by a sky full of angels. If you're looking at the New Living Translation, it says it a little bit differently than what we just read. It calls them the armies of heaven. And it's hard to imagine just how magnificent and how bright and terrifying and glorious what sight that must have been for them in that moment. And then there's the sound, it says, right? All together, these incredible angels are praising God, probably singing and declaring glory to God in heaven and peace on earth to mankind. The audience for all of this is shepherds. Shepherds. Those completely ordinary, average Joe, night shift working animal tenders who are unlikely, unexpected recipients of this message of peace, wholeness, and God's favor. God certainly doesn't do things the way that man does things. Right? We're ushering in a kingly kind of person. We are bringing the people that we know that are highest respected kind of people. They have the greatest titles. Those are the people that we usher in to those moments. But in God's wisdom, in God's kingdom, He doesn't do it like man does it. And it's just further evidence that God does His own thing. I think that as we look at this, we should be asking the question, the obvious question of why the shepherds? Why these completely unexpecting and unassuming guys? Why are they the ones that the angels go to, that this announcement is made to? I believe the answer is this. The shepherds were everyday people. They were nothing special. They had no entitlement, no pride, no arrogance, no righteous bloating. They fit right into the process of introducing God's Messiah, right? A humble carpenter and a peasant girl as parents for the Son of God, a birth in a lowly stable surrounded by animals, rough and rugged shepherds that are out in the fields on the edge of a really refined civilization, but they're not a part of it. This is how God works. These were the have-nots And God uses these humble, unlikely people in turning the world as we know it on its head. Just think about this. Those considered by society to be the most holy people, right? The people with the most authority, the people that should be most respected because of the titles that they hold, they weren't given a place in the stable to kneel on holy ground and witness the arrival of the Messiah. Think about that. It's incredible. It certainly reminds us, if nothing else, that God's favor is not based on human standards. His favor is on all those who humbly acknowledge their brokenness and accept the gifts that God offers us of hope and peace and joy and the love that Jesus brings to us. Peace is not based on class. It's not based on position or occupation, but on God's promise and design to bring good news that will cause great joy for all the people to see. I think the shepherds, they also led us into several insights that I want us to look at this morning in regards to the intersection with us and God's peace that He offers to us. So the first insight I want us to look at is this. Peace comes in the midst of our storms. Peace comes in the midst of our storms. Isn't that true? So often, we can't really sense God's peace in incredible ways unless we're going through incredibly hard times. It's when we're going through those difficulties in life, those challenges in life, that all of a sudden, when God's peace is brought into the mix of it, we can actually experience it in its greatest form. But if everything is just perfect in life, all the time, when we're just living our perfect little lives, it's hard for us sometimes to see the peace that God can bring to us. So I want us to remember that the peace comes in the midst of the storms. I don't know, some of you guys may have actually lived through a hurricane in your life. Any of you guys lived through a hurricane? Yeah, a few of you have. I've talked to people that have. I've read stories about people that have. I watch the news and I hear people talking on TV that have lived through hurricanes. I've never lived through a hurricane in my life. But from what I understand, it's a very eerie kind of experience. We've all seen it on the weather radar that at the center of this circling storm, right? The storm as you're looking at, the green and yellow colors on the radar are just circling around. And at the very center of it is what they call the eye of the storm. And there's stillness right there. At the center, there's no commotion. Center of the storm, the winds are calm. The rains often cease. It's a pause in the frenzy that you're going through in that moment. It's temporary, but it's peaceful. It doesn't last because we have all seen that as that storm continues on, you then pick up the winds on the backside and the howling begins again. And this storm is just going in the opposite direction. That's the only difference. It's just as bad. But there's peace in the middle of the storm. So let me ask you this. How's your Christmas season going? We're on our second week of Advent, second week as we prepare ourselves, our hearts and our minds, hopefully, for the Christmas season and the celebration of what we're doing, which is the birth of Jesus Christ. But I fully understand that apart from that, there's a whole bunch of other expectations that come into play at the Christmas season. We have the frenzy of going out and Christmas shopping and collecting all the stuff that we think that our family members and our loved ones would want, or we want to give to them just to bless them. Right? So we create some of the stuff ourselves. We have the holiday parties for work and for times with friends and all kinds of stuff. How is your Christmas season going so far? How does your Christmas season typically go? Can it be described as a hurricane of busyness or a hurricane of chaos at moments during that season? I think if we're honest, we might choose words like busy or hectic or frantic to describe our lives at this time of the year. Maybe all year long. Maybe it's an overloaded schedule that robs you of the ability to really experience peace right now. Maybe it's something more. Maybe it's a relationship conflict that you know that you're going to have to sit on the other side of the table from that person on Christmas morning, Christmas afternoon, as you gather together with a friend or family members. Maybe it's pressure at work over this time of the season. Maybe it's a lost job that's been experienced or illness. You name it. God knows we have plenty of options to choose from this year, don't we? As to what's kind of spun us into a little bit of a frenzy, maybe? For many people, peace sounds like it's a long way off. I just had a conversation this morning with somebody that was saying that in their household, they're having a hard time in regards to dealing with some of the stuff that's going on in the world right now. For many people, they're in the same boat. Peace sounds like it's just this long ways off. It's a good idea. It's a nice thought for the holidays. It's something to long for, maybe. But it's just not a reality. If this is where you find yourself today, let me encourage you that Jesus shows up when the storms of life threaten our peace and our hope and our joy. That's what He does. He shows up in those moments. He's there with us when love seems lost and the way forward is totally unclear to us. It's those moments so often that Jesus shows up. It's in that moment of pain, of suffering, of loss, that God appears. The Christ child is born, right? We look back at this story and there's chaos going on in the world. The Christ child's born in that moment. The angels show up to announce it in that moment. In the middle of Israel's dark night of Roman oppression and centuries of suffering and wondering, what happens? They're asking themselves, where is God during all this? They're asking the same questions that some of us are asking maybe this morning. Where is God as I'm walking through this trial, as I'm walking through this hard time in my life? Where is God? In the middle of a world that's turned upside down for a Jewish couple who have found themselves at the center of a cosmic event, while at the same time trying to navigate the normal life realities of paying their dues by traveling by foot across the country to be counted by the government for a census, right? And having to experience childbirth for the first time far away from home without the support and the care that they would have normally probably had from other women and midwives who would have guided Mary through that painful process. And then they begin as first-time parents, not only with the joys and wonder, but with the fears, the uncertainties, the beginning to understand the responsibility of having their first son,
but not only their first son, but God's son. If you're a new parent, you know what I mean. There's a lot of unknowns in that moment. There's a lot of excitement, a lot of rejoicing, but there's also some fears oftentimes that go along with it. So often in life, it's times like that that God shows up. In these circumstances that Mary and Joseph were going through, in all these struggles, this is where God showed up. This is where God continues to show up for us. Today, it's no different today than it was back then. God shows up in our pain. He shows up in our fears. He shows up in our confusion, in our grief, in our loss, in our uncertainties. And I certainly don't know every hardship that you're facing today, or every wince of pain that you might be feeling today. But God does. And He is there, bringing peace to calm the heart. Peace that defies the circumstances that you're facing. And I want to talk about that for a minute, about this peace that defies our circumstances. It's our second point this morning. Some of you might be thinking, yeah, that's great for you to say. It sounds really nice, but you don't know how much I'm hurting right now. And you're right, I don't. I don't pretend to know how much you're hurting if you're dealing with something in your life right now. I can only imagine from what you might share at some point or have shared, well, how awful it is. I can agree with how unfair it seems. I don't know the depth of your reality. But I do know pain and heartache. I've experienced it personally in deep ways. My pain and your pain, they may look different. They may sound different. But when we are walking through it, the reality is that both of our pains can affect the peace that we experience when we take our focus off of Jesus. Jesus offers a peace that is deeper, a peace that defies our circumstances. In those darkest, deepest, hardest moments of our lives, He defies those circumstances by offering us peace. In the face of all that you are feeling and all that you have gone through, God's peace just doesn't make sense. But it's real. It's real. And it's healing. And it can guard our hearts from the wounds growing deeper. And it can protect our minds from the onslaught of anxiety that can take place. I want you to listen to the Apostle Paul. He describes this process that we're talking about in Philippians chapter 4, starting at verse 4. This is what he says. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. I'll say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all the Lord, or for her, to all. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus." Let me encourage each of us today, no matter what you might be facing, no matter what the pain might be in your life, that this process that we just read about, it begins with turning to God bringing our hurts, bringing our questions, our doubts, our uncertainties, our whys, and our needs to Him. As Paul said, right, in this passage, in every situation, by prayer and by petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. I don't pretend to fully understand that. But there is a power in prayer and a transformation that grows from our gratitude. It's not the power of getting what we want or convincing God to see things our way. It's not the way it works. We can try, and He'll listen. But much more than that, the power of prayer can protect our hearts, our minds, from further, deeper pain when we go to God. Prayer allows us to acknowledge and to accept that God's got this. That we are turning it over to God. He's got this. He can be trusted because He is enough for whatever you're facing today. Finally, I want us to look at the fact that peace is a person. It's a person. It all comes back to a person. Peace is a person. Peace is Jesus. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 14, Paul says this. He says, "For He Himself is peace," speaking of Jesus. Peace is a person. Jesus is peace. Isaiah chapter 9, if we go back and look at the Old Testament, Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7, again, another pretty familiar verse for us at this time of year. It says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on His shoulders. And He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Peace is a person. And that person is who we've come to celebrate. The person is who we celebrate during this Advent season. This child that is born, this son that is given to us, brings the power and rule of His peace into our personal lives. He is bigger than anything that we can possibly face. He is the bringer of peace between us and God, the sacrificial lamb. He's the giver of life itself. He is the perfect picture of shalom and wholeheartedness that we find in a relationship with Jesus. Jesus is the God who has come to be with us. And He offers us an incredible invitation that I want to remind us of this morning. And the invitation is this, and it comes from Matthew 11, starting at verse 28. It says, "Come to Me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take My yoke upon you and learn from Me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your soul." That's a promise from Jesus, right? Come to Me and you will find rest for your soul. "For My yoke is easy and My burden is light." That is an offer to each one of us as followers, as believers in Jesus Christ, of this incredible peace that only Jesus can bring. Let's let those words come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. Let's let those words just wash over us this morning. In this second week of Advent, let me encourage you to look for the Prince of Peace. Even when the winds blow and the storms swirl, let's look at that radar picture and see right in the center of that the peace of Jesus Christ. Let me encourage us all to come to Him and worship like the shepherds. Right? Even when we find ourselves in the darkness of storms. If that's where you're at today, that is your reality. But in that reality, in that dark place that you might find yourself in today, worship Him. Let Him remind us to come to Him. Because He is here. The Prince of Peace. He is with us. And that's what we celebrate this Christmas season. I pray that Jesus may be your peace this week. I pray that He will guard your souls this week. That He will grant you peace, even if there might be some trying times. That He will fill your spirit with a wholeness of peace. That He may rule in your life as the Prince of Peace. If you're facing storms this holiday season, and I know holidays can be tricky for people every year, a lot of great things happen. But there's also the reality of a lot of difficult things that take place. And if you're in that place today, I just want to end our time by simply praying for you. I want to pray that you sense the peace that we've looked at this morning, that we've talked about this morning, that we've seen in Scripture this morning, that Jesus offers to us. So let's go ahead and have a time of prayer as the worship team comes up. I just want to pray for you guys this morning as we end our time together. Heavenly Father, we thank You for Your Word. We thank You, Lord God, for the encouragement that comes from Your Word. We know that as we go through different times in our lives, there are times of great joy where we are excited about what's taking place. We are on that mountaintop experience. And for some people, that is right now. That is the Christmas season. That is just the way that life is going for them right now. And that is wonderful. We thank You for those moments, for those people that are experiencing that currently today. But I also know that there are people that are hurting today. That the holidays are painful for whatever reason. Maybe it's the loss of a loved one that they're reminded of on this annual basis. Maybe it's the different stresses that creep in over the Christmas season. Maybe it's just because it's been so much with this whole year, and this is just the one last thing that is adding extra stress to life. I know, Lord God, that Your hope would be that each one of us experience Your peace this season. So I just want to pray for each one in here, each one that's online joining us that way. I pray, Heavenly Father, that if they are facing something that is robbing them of Your peace, that Your presence would be made known in this moment, in the days to come. That they would be able to look at the big picture and see right in the middle of the chaos of this hurricane that they're facing. They can see the calmness, the peace that you offer. Make yourself known is my prayer to each one that needs to experience your loving peace today. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.